Hey, what's up, guys? This is Jordan Austin Gilbert of Cloud9, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Let's try this one more time, gentlemen. The date... Oh, wait. Look at that. You take a week off and you forget how this works. First the episode, then the date. Episode 136, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date is January 2nd, 2019, 8:40 p.m. Central Standard Time. Discord is, of course, starting the year the same way it finished, by the video chat giving us issues. No biggie. We're professionals. We'll roll past it. So we're just doing voice today. So if you're on Twitch, sorry, you can't see our beautiful faces. But Discord giveth and Discord taketh. That's how it happens. We are The Center Ring. My name is Tim. Hello. I'll be one of your hosts for this journey into esports. Alongside me, as always, we have Anuj. Hello.
What's up, fellas? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And we have Brett. Hello, Brett.
Hey, what's up, guys? I kind of feel like we're in that movie Memento. Memento? Was that it? Where it's repeated over and over and over again?
It's Groundhog's Day.
With that overrated actor. That spare actor. I forget his name. I don't know.
It's pretty,
but we're not spares. Okay, I kid. I don't know. I just didn't... I want to show my true opinion. Yes, I don't know. Hi, guys.
Are we,
136. Brett, you made it one show into the new year.
Before you had... What just happened?
Before you ruined everything.
What did I ruin?
You and your old man movie references. We're a kids show, Brett. No one understands that. We're esports. We're young and we're hip, okay?
Young and hip. Okay, got it.
Get those Fortnite references in there, okay?
Yeah, you're not giving any Fortnite references, so I know that's BS.
Man, no. Did you guys have a good Christmas? We haven't even spoken since Christmas, right? Have we?
No. We have not.
No, we have not.
A podcast, we have not.
Right. Of course, we're three best friends, so we talk all the time, but podcast-wise, no, we haven't done anything. Did you guys get anything good? Anything esports related?
Ooh, okay, esports related, I actually did. My in-laws looked at my Amazon wish list, and I added random stuff on there. I honestly didn't know they were looking at it. I use it more to keep track of just crap that I'm interested in myself, right. You know? And so we all share an account, so they went to the wish list on there, and they bought me a Tobii eye tracker, and it's like that thing that's used when you can like basically see where your eye is right on the screen,
right.
Like where you're looking, and it shows it, and it's kind of cool for stream purposes. I don't think I'm gonna keep it just because I was really like just more keeping an eye on that type of technology, seeing what was out there. It's not something I just don't stream, right? So it would be cool as like a gimmick item for me to use at home, but thought was awesome. I mean, I thought it was one of the coolest gifts I'd gotten, although I'm not keeping it. So love the idea, but not so functional for me.
I got a Cloud9 jersey.
Man. Damn. About time.
Got my C9 jersey. I've always held it out just because I'm too much of a... I'm too cheap, and I cannot tell the listener. You guys can vouch for me. How many times have I walked up to the booth, had the jersey in my hand, and
all
thought...
Look, guys, this is really a gift for all of Tim's friends, because now anytime we go to an event, we don't have to run up to the merch table to see if they have a Cloud9 jersey that he's happy with, that he maybe wants to get, that he wants to look at one more time.
Yeah,
this saves us about three or four trips in event.
Is this
and then
going to
end it? The regret, right? Like, man, I should have got it, dude. Should have got it. Like,
is the size gonna fit? I mean, esports jerseys—you gotta get a size too big. And
I have such bad buyer's remorse, though. That's why, right?
You know what it is. Go ahead. But I have an opinion.
I want to treat myself, but at the same time, it's my money, right? I'm okay with stupid purchases. I just don't like doing it with my money. But if someone wants to buy me it, I'm all for it.
Yeah. I think DreamHack ruined you for esports events. Because what was it? The first year you got the Street Fighter gloves.
Yeah, like Ryu pillow hands. You stuck and your hands in.
And immediately you're like, why did I buy these?
I bought them. They were like $30. I bought them. I put them on, punched Brett once with them, and thought, okay, well.
Got what I wanted.
That's about all I wanted it for. So. Oh, no. And like on the booth, there was like a big sign, like no refunds. And I went to him, I'm like, bro, my wife is going to kill me, man. You know how it goes, bro. You know how it goes. And he's like, don't worry.
Look what happened with my chair.
I got you. So it all worked out. I got my money back. But no, it was overall pretty good little holiday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anything, Brett?
Christmas was.
No, yeah, it's also your birthday. See, for Brett, well, Christmas is his birthday. So it's a double whammy.
Yeah, I mean, apparently I'm hard to buy for because I just don't tell anybody what I want. But my family decided to make it rain with Steam gift cards. So I've been kind of going ham on these winter sales. So.
I'm like, they're like, what do you want? What do you want? I'm like, just Steam gift cards and I'll figure out the rest. Like, just don't worry about it. Just give me Steam gift cards. I'll figure it out.
I entered so many codes. It's ridiculous.
What did you buy with the codes?
All those hentai games that I'm seeing on the trending games.
Hey, Hey, same team, Tim. All right. No, I mean, I'm kind of holding out for a few things. May hoard it, and
gotta wait till DreamHack,
or spend it on Rocket League cases.
We're at that point in life now where it's like DreamHack Dallas is kind of close enough to where you're like, okay, maybe I'll wait. I'll see what games we're playing then and go from there. But overall, it was a good holiday. I hope all our listeners had fun. Let us know if you got any good gifts, esports-related gifts especially. We always like seeing those. That's really it. That's really it. And then we went into the new year. Lots of stuff happened. So we're going to talk a lot about CSGO moves. A lot of stuff going on for CSGO. Not a whole lot outside of that, though. This is the downtime of esports, which is why we normally can afford taking a week or two off, because, quite frankly, there's just not a lot happening. It is the quote-unquote off-season of esports. Nothing's really happening. There's no league going on, no big tournaments or anything. So this is when all the teams have their chance to do roster moves. So typically, we take the time off, let the dust settle, and we'll regroup. But before I get into that, we did have to say goodbye to 2018, and I thought we'd maybe just spend the first five or so minutes discussing some of our favorite esports moments of 2018. You saw it all over Twitter, right? Everyone was doing their little bit of like and retweet your favorite moments and what you're looking forward to. You know, that's that you had that Twitter shrill. And so everyone does that, right? That's what you got to do. You got to play the game. Got to play the game. By the way, at the Center Ring, if you want to follow us on Twitter, go for it. I don't know. How did you guys want to do this? You want to just talk about our favorite times of 2018?
Let's do that.
Yeah, roll with it. For anything. I'm so happy.
Do it live.
Looking forward to this year. I'm good for like whatever, Tim. I'm just like pumped, ready to go.
It's crazy when you think back, because like we had the Boston Major last year, and yet it feels so long ago. It feels like it was years ago when Cloud9 won their NA's, not only their first major, NA's first major on NA soil.
That really doesn't like feel like last year at all. And I think that's like probably, I would assume, in all three of ours, or at least up there in the top five type category. But yeah, that was definitely an amazing moment for last year. That event and that run and just, I mean, there was something special about it, you know, C9 fan or not. That major was really something.
We were sitting in the Discord, like every one of our crew, like there were like nine of us chilling in the show Discord, just watching the games, going absolutely bananas, watching the match.
The roller coaster that is Tim's emotions for Cloud9, it's insane. Like I was worried for you. I'm like, man, is he about to have a heart attack? Do I need to go over there?
Hatred and love at the same time coming out of Tim during those matches. It was It was definitely fun to watch with everybody. Like, I mean, having even, you know, one of our friends, Moisty, is kind of in that similar pure hatred for it and then love, like, within a matter of seconds.
I just remember, like, Tim just going, they're the dumbest team. They're the stupidest team. Why would you do that? And then the next one's like, oh, my God, they're fucking amazing. Like, man, it's like, oh, my God. It was so much fun. I'm not a Cloud9 guy, but, I mean, I enjoyed the Moisty, Timmy...
Yeah,
roller coaster
show. That is easily one of the better times. I think for me personally, getting to go out to New York to see the Overwatch League finals and being invited and wined and dined by Blizzard, but just being able to go out there and like seeing, like I've been to majors, right? Like I went to the Columbus Major, and like I thought that was huge, right? It's so funny growing up with esports because I remember. And Anuj, I know you're the same, right? I remember going to tournaments inside of video stores, you know, little computer stores. And then I remember the first MLG I went to was at the Embassy Suites in Frisco. And I was like, bro, it's never going to get bigger than this. This is huge. Esports has made it. And then you go and upgrade to half a stadium at the Nationwide Arena in Columbus, wherever I think it's Nationwide Arena in Columbus.
That sounds about right.
And seeing that cut down the middle, and I was like, damn, this is huge. And then you take it to the Overwatch League finals where they take it to the Barclays Center and fit even more people in that. It was really cool. You know, I know everyone has their opinion on Overwatch and the Overwatch League, and I honestly kind of just feels like it bases off of if you like Overwatch or not, is Overwatch League a success? I think it's kind of a dumb argument to have, honestly. Just because, you know, if you ask me, I never watch League of Legends, but I know it's a success. But if you ask me, it's like, not really that popular. I'm not into it. But I thought that was really cool, getting to go out to New York, seeing the Overwatch League in finals, and just seeing the Overwatch League as a whole. You know, it's the first time we saw... this type of franchising going on. So I thought that was really interesting to see how the esports scene kind of adopted it, I guess, but some of them also hated it, however you want to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, their first year for Overwatch League was, I think, a tremendous success, right? Like, from how they... really how they handled league play, I think, is just one of the biggest things to hopefully show... they were just so organized. I mean, everything was done on time. They didn't have issues. Like, if it was supposed to be on, it was on. Like, it was really nice to kind of have that structure, you know, to an esport where we really don't have much of any in most of them. So I thought Overwatch League was a great success for year one. I think a lot of the skepticism that you see from people is, you know, what about year two, three, four? You know, how is that going to work? And I think only time will tell. But as far as
all it
year
took
one
was,
goes,
all it took was Overwatch telling Heroes of the Storm to just get a little closer to the ledge, buddy. Tell me what it looks like, and then it kicked them off.
Oh my gosh! But you know what? 2018 was exciting, and it kind of carries over to 2019. Their new, I guess, challenge. Making sure that their one remote stop to Dallas is going to be a success, right? Because part of the draw being that the teams are tied to a city is that eventually they're going to have home at home. So 2018 was awesome, but I feel like 2019 could be so much better just depending on how they do remotely, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, that is going to be interesting to see, right? Because like right now... Mm-hmm. And I've always told people this, where, because you have people in the esports scene who love to bring up that, did you see this tournament? Got more viewers than the NFL game on Sunday. Did you see that? Did you see how this tournament got more viewers than the MLB game? Yeah. Esports is taking over, right? And you hear that all the time. And people love pointing it out in esports, that when a tournament gets more viewership than an NFL game. I heard a stat on my way home this morning on the radio, and I'm not going to quote it correctly, but you'll get the idea. Out of the top 50 most viewed broadcasts this year, or I'm sorry, in 2018, last year, right? Out of the top 50, I believe 43 of them are all NFL games.
Yeah, that's like about right. I heard this something similar to that also, and that was probably a bit.
43
that's crazy,
out of
50. Dude.
So the next
Cowboys
time you
are
say,
about 12 of those.
Yeah, probably. And the rest are all the Patriots. Yeah. But if so, you got to think, right? And I'm wrapping this all back around to Brett's point of the kind of do or die now that they're starting to tease the home and away games. Yeah, it's really easy to fill out a stadium, you know, when it's the cool new thing. Just mm-hmm. wait till you're Shanghai and you're 0-35. Then tell me how filling out that stadium works.
Well, I mean, on the topic of Shanghai, at least they learned from their mistake, you know, just sign an all Korean roster.
Yeah.
I know I was just making that.
Yeah.
But,
it's the same thing.
But
right?
Yeah, no,
like, people are like, oh, did you see this tournament get a lot of views? Well, yeah. But you also are comparing a major, which is supposed to be like the Super Bowl, to a Jets and Jaguars game on Thursday night. So
yeah, and we get to see kind of, you know, outside, because you know, the Blizzard Arena was made for Overwatch. That's what it was made for. They have all of the, you know, backups and plan in place. So if something happens, they, you know, they're prepared, right?
Yeah.
But here, you know, this is a new venue. This is a venue they're only going to use, you know, once this year. So it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of roll with punches if something happens, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, we went to DreamHack, and, you know, DreamHack had issues, and their issues weren't really planned for. And it just caused, like, a major uproar and just, like, chaos,
punches.
Right?
They tripped over them. There were no punches. They fell.
So, but can you imagine if you pay for a ticket and, you know, something happens in this arena that really wasn't built for esports? How, you know, let's just...
And then all of a sudden you realize you're in,
year.
Like, an hour and a half tech delay, and you're like,
yeah,
oh, what's going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah, because we have two other games that could go five. I am. There's a cat. Anybody else hear that cat?
Well, there's only one of us. Who has a cat here? Is that your cat?
Bro, I just booted her out of the room. Okay. God, my door wasn't completely closed and she pushed it in. She had a story to tell me. Like, I don't know. Like, yo.
Like,
one
oh
second,
my
dude.
God.
I'm hungry.
But yeah, no, this is going to be a big, you know, litmus test, if I'm using the right word.
Yeah,
I don't
sure,
know.
Man.
But oh sure, we'll go with that. But yeah. Exciting times in 2019. Can't wait.
Yeah. Excited. I think there's a lot. You know, I think bringing up Heroes of the Storm, and we talked about it a couple episodes ago, how that was, you know, that was really the first time you ever saw a company completely abandon its esports scene. You know, it wasn't like the community changed. The community always was stayed the same, right? It kind of always got 20,000 views for their matches and everything. So I'm kind of curious to see, like, when you are putting so much money into other things, and you start seeing this with all the developers, right? Everyone wants to put all their money into one basket. When are these smaller esports going to kind of dissipate, right? Not every esport, not every game can have what League of Legends or Counter-Strike or Overwatch or Dota, right? Not everyone can be a Fortnite. Somebody's going to have to just be happy that you're the WNBA of esports.
Whoa.
Oh, don't whoa.
Already,
exactly.
Tim. We're like 2 days.
Like,
we are 2 days into,
you know,
one
exactly
episode into
I
2019,
mean.
And you're already bashing women. Good.
That's, yeah, God. That was exactly what my point was. Yes, you're exactly correct.
On the topic of League of Legends, Tim, I'm surprised that, you know, Cloud9 semifinal run in League of Legends wasn't on your top.
Just the NA run in general, though, was awesome for that event. Like, it drew the most viewers.
League of Legends guy, right? Like, I can't pretend like I'm.
Yeah.
I can't pretend that I was like, oh, I've been waiting for this moment. You know,
yeah, no,
cool.
If I was just remotely interested in League of Legends, it would be C9's run, and there wouldn't be another real event anywhere close.
I can still appreciate the story, though. I mean, like, a new thing, the NA run, the fact that most of them were rookies, and just,
and on Twitter and all that, there was like so much hype, you know. It was really like very active, and they ended up getting more viewers than last year. They ended up with 75 million total hours watched on Twitch and YouTube, which is insane for an event. Granted, the event is pretty long, right? So they do like have
like
a lot
three
of
weeks
matches in order to do that.
Can I branch off of that point?
No, we should save that.
I've been seeing a lot of charts about 2018 with like, here are your top five most viewed tournaments, right? And people will always bring up one or the other having more views or anything like that. And I always think that's a goofy tournament or a goofy comparison when some tournaments last 2 weeks and some last a weekend and some only last a day, right? If you were like the Overwatch League finals, like that was
people just have to take it
day.
In context and understand what they're looking at, right? If the viewer or user doesn't understand the chart, like in that context, then they really shouldn't be looking at that data. They should do some more research, obviously, right? Even like Counter-Strike E-League Major and all that. There's so many games and stages that are played throughout that accumulate those hours. Like on the top 10 list, people wouldn't even see. And this is where people become like hypocrites in this sense, is they don't see Overwatch on there. So they bash Overwatch League. Like, hey, how are y'all not on the top 10 of most popular esports tournaments of 2018? And it's like, well, it's like one single event that's being held that day. Like, it's not going
to
generate
30
million
hours
watched.
Do you want to take all the viewers from every night? Do you want to do that game? Let's, because we can play that game.
Yeah. Well, then, you know, and again, it's just people need to understand the data that they're looking at. So if you're looking at a chart, understand what you're reading.
Yep. I will say my last memorable moment of 2018 was seeing the resurgence in Call of Duty. To see it have the most viewers it's ever had for a CWL event, to see all the streamers playing it again, the pros started playing it again. Kind of a shame that Treyarch is kind of just sitting on it. Like, I feel like they kind of definitely did not ride the wave. The hype train was there. It was ready to go. And then Treyarch was kind of like, no, we're good. We're good. But it was cool to see Vegas.
Yeah.
We'll
Mine's
see.
Gonna be one that I feel like you two might not appreciate as much, but the rise of Fortnite in 2018. I think Fortnite brought in a whole new audience to gaming, whether that's competitive gaming or just gaming in general, right? However you want to look at Fortnite. But I thought that was like fantastic for somebody like Ninja to be so mainstream, right? And he's brought in a lot of other celebrities from the outside, being on Ellen and just random stuff like this. I mean, it's just so big. And whether you like him or not, that's not the point. The point is the amount of growth of the gaming industry that's come from Fortnite alone. I think there's just a whole new interest level. I love how it merged all platforms together. Something that you don't see in games because it's difficult to do. But I thought that was awesome to see. Like the rise of Fortnite in 2018 was really, really big for gaming. I hope it leads to something great for esports within their community itself. But it was just like a crazy ride within that game. I mean, even now going and watching, go to Twitch, it's still leading by far when even half the big streamers are on for them. So it's been an insane run for them. I think they ended up with, $3 billion revenue for the year?
Something insane.
Absolutely insane.
I can't even fathom how happy those stockholders or shareholders or if they're private people that are invested in the company are feeling right now. But
it just goes show, no crazy. Matter how bad your game is, you can still find success.
Oh, God.
Still find success.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to comment.
Yeah, I know, right? You just can't. You can't just.
I'm gonna let Brett go ahead.
Don't feed the troll news.
No, I know better. The audience thinks I'm being rude by not saying anything to this. Yeah. I know better.
Yeah, that's a rabbit hole you don't want to go down. My favorite esports moment kind of goes. Well, I mean, I kind of have a bias because it's one of my favorite games to play, but Rocket League and RLCS. You saw NA almost win one at the beginning of the year, right? They had two season finals in 2018 where NRG almost took down, just a heavy favorite in Dignitas. They weren't Dignitas at the time. Same team, though. And that finals was insane, and you didn't really think it was going to get any better. Like, how could it get better than that? How could it get more exciting than seeing Justin hit a zero time wall shot or ceiling shot, you know, to tie things up and then ultimately lose in the finals? I mean, the hype for that game was just through the roof. And then, you know, the next season comes and you have a team in Cloud9 that just had all of the potential in the world to be great. I mean, they have one of the best mechanically gifted players in the world in Squishy. Expectations were high even before this season. A lot of people thought that they would make a run the previous season, and it just never came together. Mm-hmm. But they put it together in that season, and that ride was amazing because, I mean, they brought it back from the losers bracket against, again, a team that was going for their fourth championship in a row, I believe, if memory serves me right.
At least one of
in
them.
Dignitas, which had the same roster in K-Dop, Turbo Pulsa, and in Cloud9, they brought it back from a loser's bracket. They reset the bracket, and then they had, you know, just they. I mean, it wasn't even close. It didn't feel close. It finally felt like Cloud9 just grasped that potential that everyone thought they had and just kind of rode it to that finals. And it was amazing. It was great to see because they got that monkey off their back,
right?
Of okay, we're here to compete. Like we could compete with these EU teams that have been just dominating the scene for the longest time.
Well, overall, for NA being the butt of esports jokes for a long time, 2018 was a pretty good year for them.
It really was. I mean, especially for Cloud9. I mean,
yeah,
esports like a decision of the year,
historic year. Like Cloud9's year, I don't think will be replicated in.
No.
And I mean, it'll be very difficult for an organization to have a run like that. That almost reminds me of Boston. Yeah, like or like when Boston, you know, they won, I think, the World Series. They won NFL title and NHL, like I think all in the same year one time. And it's just such a rare thing to see a city or an organization dominate that way. So their run was, I mean, man, hard to top that one.
Yep. Good year to be a fanboy. I could have bought 3 championship t-shirts between CSGO, London Spitfire, if you count that, and then
you do.
Rocket League.
You have to.
And then you had League of Legends, which, I mean, like we said, felt like they won the championship. You know, like they were playing with house money at that point. So 2018 was a good year for esports, man. And by all means, 2019 should be even better. I don't see it slowing down anytime soon. Even despite all these people saying it's going to have a correction, I think, of course, it will. But hey,
from a business standpoint,
yeah, I was
going to
say, we'll
viewership.
Let the businessmen worry about that. Okay, I don't really care.
Yeah, we're not worried
That's
about
not
that.
My problem.
You
if
get
there's
that
a correction.
Talk out of here.
You know, yeah. You just keep having those tournaments, and I'll keep watching, and we'll keep talking about it. But
what are you looking forward to the most in 2019? Any game or anything that you think a future esports game come to mind? I know I just went off topic for us, but I'm just curious now.
No, that's a good question. It's a good question. We could talk about before getting into CSGO. I will honestly say, okay, two things for me. I want to see how the Smash community adopts Ultimate because we saw some drama in the break on that. So I want to see how that is. I forget who said it, but someone in the Smash community who plays Ultimate said that the Melee players aren't actually part of the Smash community. They're their own thing, and the Smash community doesn't view them as like Smash pros, which is pretty absurd. Like, come on, bro. You got to respect your elders on that one, right? Like, to say that Mango and HBox, Mewtwo King, Armada... Like, you wouldn't have anything if it weren't for these guys. So, but I'm curious on that. And I'm also very, very curious to see these more details on this ESL, Faceit, ECS relationship we have going on where they're actually working on making a competent schedule for these CSGO players.
It would be nice. Yeah, we'll see if that happens. And
I mean, they said they will. They said they have worked it out. that the schedule not have overlapping seasons. So I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, and go ahead, Nanush. I'm sorry.
I pray for no visa issues in 2019. Visa.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Have fun.
No, definitely took one of mine with Ultimate. Excited to see where that goes in 2019 for sure. I think that has an opportunity to carve out its own space. And maybe that's one of those things, kind of how you mentioned a moment ago, like who's okay taking that middle of the pack kind of road and just owning, you know, what they do. And I think Smash will be that. I don't think it's going to break any records in that sense,
no.
But I think it'll definitely have a long-term place in esports, and excited to see that. And then the other thing for me, and I just lost what it is while I was talking about it. Oh, yes. I would be really excited if Halo ended up releasing this year.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, at the end of the year, if we could get a Halo Christmas release, you know, heading into 2020, I think that would be, man, that would be the Christmas present for everybody.
Even if they really focus on, like, these Halo 3 tournaments that they've been doing here and there, like, even if they focus on bringing that one back.
Yeah, you know, just bringing it. I think what they're doing is hopefully trying to draw people that are an interest in Halo 3 leading into this. Like, it feels like a nice little transition. People are getting excited. You're starting to see a little bit more talk there. So rumors are for November of this year. So we'll see what happens at E3 and all that.
Plenty of time.
Yeah, I'm excited. That'd be awesome. So we'll see.
And I guess for me, I mean, I talk about it a lot. It's my favorite esport to watch. It's Overwatch 2019. 6 new teams being added to the season for an esport that already won its, I mean, esport of the year. I take it as you will. But, you know, 6 new teams, which means that, I mean, they're only going to see it maybe grow even more. I mean, more and more people are going to be interested. The price tag to get into the league is higher. I want to see if it's going to be worth what investors are paying for it. You know, the entry fee. I want to see, I'm excited to see if maybe they can go beyond their, 100,000 plus viewers, an episode. Did it carry momentum? Is the GOATS meta going to kill viewership and just make it unwatchable? We'll see. That's what I'm excited for in 2019. I'm just super hype. I'm ready for it to start. I want to get that preseason. So for any listeners that are listening, if you can find the preseason schedule for Overwatch, you hit us up. Let us know.
God
because
bless
I search
you.
Forever for that.
God thing. Bless you. If
yeah.
You figure that one out. It's nowhere.
But,
it's not on the website.
Yeah.
But it's
but,
out
I
there because they've talked about
can't,
it.
Yeah. February can't get here soon enough. I am so excited. I'm going to have to work with the wifey to.
Season 2 to do for Overwatch League. Season. Which we'll still do our big preview. So I guess we can save it till then. But season 2 for Overwatch League, I think, is going to speak a lot of not only Overwatch, but what future esports can do, right? Because let's face it, even if like Counter-Strike is like, no, we're not going to franchise. If all of a sudden this really works out, watch how fast these owners franchise, you know?
Yeah, so because if you look...
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, because if you look at it, I mean, these guys had an off season. Like, they made their very generous salaries during the season, and then they got this long off season to do what they wanted to do, go visit family. You know, I saw pictures of vacations being had, and, you know, these players, a lot of them have their own streams where they can kind of just sit back and game for 10 hours without it being in a practice atmosphere. Right? Like, they're able to just kind of, like, stretch their legs and just enjoy life.
But you're acting like the players have any choice in if it's a franchise or not.
What do you mean?
I mean, the owners don't care if the players get time to relax. The owners care if they get money.
Well, I'm saying that the players get to.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. Yeah. But I don't think the owners are like, dang, our players get to relax? We need to franchise. I think they'd be like, dang, you have profit sharing? Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, and it's going to be a tough sell, especially for the old heads, you know, for esports organizations that are already embedded in a league or, you know, multiple tournament organizers. It's going to be hard to organize that in. And maybe it's a pipe dream, right? Like, maybe this is just, like a Mary Poppins just dream, right? That maybe this can happen for every, it's not ultimately. But like you said, for esports like Call of Duty, it could latch on, maybe.
Well, and maybe a few other esports.
Yeah, of franchising, what have you, but yeah.
Well, can only see what 2019 is going to hold, but something I do know for a fact, there are roster changes in CSGO, and we discussed some of it last week, I think already as if they were pretty much official.
A lot of it already happened.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, some of it already happened. Stewie to Liquid, we discussed that, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I just put these on here. So just to kind of give the listeners an idea of why this is all going on, to kind of lead into it a little bit. Roster lock for the upcoming major is January 1st. So teams have to have their rosters obviously in place prior to them. They have to be registered and do all that fun stuff because the challenger stage or new challenger stage starts up on February 13th. So in about 3 weeks from now, you even see some of the pre-minor stuff and all that going on. So all of that happens from January 1st, which was yesterday. Obviously, yeah, the Stewie to Liquid stuff. I do believe we talked about that last time with the Dren coaching them. I still feel good about that 2 weeks later. What do you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
No, I think between the whole MIBR and... honestly, I'm going to... can I make a blanket statement right now before we get into anything?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like all the roster moves, and that scares me, but I kind of like them all. I think they're all very, beneficial.
It's very unique that you see all these roster changes, and they're positive for all parties. Well, almost all parties. Like, most of the time when there's a roster move, it's just one team just getting decimated, like a C9 when Tarek and Stewie left, and Skadoodle was kind of in flux. Like, they just got wrecked. But, I mean, you look at these rosters and like the players that are leaving teams, those teams are filling in other people that are viable. And yeah, Tim, I'm right there with you. Like,
I think I'm in the same page. Sorry, Brett, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'll finish my,
I was kind of in the same boat as both of y'all here. I like most of them. There are a handful, or I'd say three or four, that to me are semi-questionable, but yeah, a lot of them I think are definitely going to be a positive for that team. And Stewie to Liquid is a prime example of that. I think he's going to go in and, I think he's just going to be more comfortable. I hope we see, Stewie evolve there.
I think he's got the most potential. I think he has way more potential on Liquid than he ever did in MIBR. In MIBR. Yeah,
I mean, because when he went to MIBR, MIBR was a struggling roster, right? And he's going into Liquid where they are like riding a crazy, hot train. So, yeah, I mean... that is positive. I mean, he does.
That's the biggest difference, is he's going onto a team that's headed in the right direction. With MIBR, though, I think everybody was pretty hopeful when Stewie was going on there, right? There wasn't a lot of skepticism of why would you make that move? I think people questioned, why is Stewie leaving this team, which was a fair question to be asked, and that maybe he regrets looking back at it. But from MIBR's perspective, to get Stewie at that time seemed like a win. Like, I thought we were all going to be like, oh wow, here's SK's run or whatever, so MIBR,
no one was ever going to say like, oh, Stewie and Cold on a team together, yeah, this is going to fail
terrible, and Stewie coming off of a major win,
we were talking, I believe we had mentioned like over or under a certain amount of majors that they win, right?
Yeah,
we were talking about MIBR, like over or under 2.5 majors, like, that was a conversation we were having. So
do you feel the same way on the other end for MIBR's potential? So Taco is official with them, and then Phelps is potentially the fifth. Talks were there, and I believe it is happening. It's pretty much confirmed. So assuming it is Phelps as the fifth, how do you feel about them going back to their previous lineup?
I mean, it's...
Do we know who the coach is?
It's Zeus.
It is Zeus. Yeah. Okay, Zeus did. Yeah. Okay. I don't think it's going to be as quick turnaround time, but yeah.
The good thing that they have going for him is that there's familiarity, and Taco has his role and he's comfortable in that role. So they're not going to have to like worry about there being any like conflicts there.
Well, so here, that, see, I almost think the opposite, though, right? I think Taco left that team originally for a reason, whether it was his choice or their choice. So I think you're going to have a little bit of a learning or time to earn that trust back between Taco and the rest of the team.
I think maybe they realized the mistake they made when they let him go.
I think this is like a lot of excitement on their end.
Yeah, that's
what I believe that they're going to go back. And when I say do exactly what they did before, I'm not talking about major winners consistently or anything like that, but I'm saying in the sense of how they played. They're going to be able to slide right back into their old play style. I think it'll be a pretty easy transition. Now, whether Cold is back at the top of his game and Fallen is back to where he was, those are the questions that I have more so than can Taco, you know, be fine in his role. I'm not really concerned about Taco stepping in and doing what he needs to do. This reminds me a little bit right now of when Fnatic reunited for a brief period of time. If you remember, they kind of left each other there. They came back and tried to do it again. I do think this will have a little bit of a better outcome than that, you know, reunited team did. So I think they're going to perform better. I think they'll be able to still play at a very high level, whether they're beating the likes of Astralis or Liquid or Na'Vi. I don't want to jump, you know, that far, but I think they would be in the conversation. I think they're going to be a very competitive team and hold a top, you know, five ranking.
Some other big ones here. I think Complexity, right? Would that almost be the next big one as far as
Complexity even made big moves?
Yeah,
like those are pretty big.
Announcing that Nothing is joining them as a stand-in, though he's not going to do anything permanent. And I don't think you are never going to see Nothing do anything permanent again. I think he enjoys his stand-in role. But he is going to be standing in for the major, and they dropped Ye and added Ricky.
Yeah, and Ricky was a good add until Taric became available in my eyes. That's one of the ones that now I became questionable about, like right when I saw that announcement for Taric really being available. And I don't know. I mean, Ricky is a great player, so I think it's a fantastic pickup for them. I think Taric is better, and now that he's there, that would seem like a really formidable lineup, reuniting with, you know, Stannis, who didn't he play with Stannis for Optic? A little bit somewhere at Optic? Yeah, I mean, I believe
so. Did they cross over there? I believe they did. Now, why is Taric missing the major?
So Taric's missing the major because he got benched from FaZe and didn't sign with the team before January 1.
Signed with them, that was after the deadline, even.
When who signed with him?
Taric.
When Taric hadn't signed with anybody.
Right. That's what I'm asking. Yeah. I didn't know, because I remember seeing the news. I thought, though, he signed with them like, you know, a day before, and then I saw the news. I didn't realize that he signed after the deadline.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure when the days were. You know, I'd have to go back and actually check when all the signings were. I don't know if Taric was necessarily fully available at the time, or maybe the buyout price or whatever. I don't know the reasoning for why they made the decision they did. If I could just sit here and pick the players I wanted without understanding all the inner workings of who's available and why they're available, I would personally rather have Taric over Ricky. But I think Ricky is a great pickup for him. I think he'll play well. I think it's a good, an interesting mix for this team. Android was playing really well. They really benched one of their better players. So Nothing is also going to have to come in and, you know, you would hope he at least plays at that level. As far as permanent goes, if they play well, you think there's a chance for him staying on?
Dude, I just don't. I don't see it. I don't think his mindset is there. I feel like you see him on stream and it just looks like he enjoys it so much more. Because, I mean, he filled in for Mouse. Right. And when he filled in for Mouse, he kind of like he probably had his pickings of teams. I'm sure he gets a call or email every other day asking to join a team or to try out or to do something.
You think it's a lot of top tier, like top, you know, teams in the sense of he also doesn't want to go drop a play on a team that's like ranked 40, 50. You know what I'm saying?
No,
like,
I mean,
he wants to be in a top 20 team, probably.
Just Yeah, just look at history. I mean, just recent history, and like Tim said, Mouse, now Complexity, who have made runs in big tournaments. Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's interest in him, and I would, from an NA standpoint, it's more exciting when nothing is on a team, because he's such a good dude, and he's one of the old heads, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, I hope that he loves it.
Now, enough to I will stay also permanent. Say this. For the same reason I thought Tarek was going to go to Complexity, I will never count out anyone going to Complexity, because all it takes is one visit to their training facility and to see those blueprints. And you know Jason is walking around with those blueprints at all times.
Yeah.
Like hologram that pulls up out of his phone.
Right.
It's like they're just showing him around the star, and it's like, oh, right over there. Yeah, Zeke Elliott. You want to go meet? You want to go meet?
You meet Jason Lake, and he's like, hey, I'm Jason. You want to see my blueprints?
And maybe that's part of this whole nothing situation, right? Like, they had to sign, get in somebody for the roster log. Nothing's a good addition for them in the sense he also has history with that organization. So going back to a former team of his. And Terry could still be that fifth, ultimately, if nothing isn't the long-term fill-in for him. For nothing, I don't think there's not that many NA options, you know? There's not as many as there were. C9's not really a true option at this point, obviously, anymore for him. So you take them out of the equation. There's not too many left then, right? There's like NRG and, you know, Complexity and, you know, name it. United maybe, but...
But it is Counter-Strike, and that option could come available really quick.
It could. There's just not many NA options is the problem. Yeah. NACS is in a weird state right now.
Speaking of NA, you have C9 signing Zelsus. Am I saying that name correct?
I think, yeah, Zealous or Zelsus.
Zelsus? Yeah. That's how I've always said it. I can honestly say I've never really heard it said, or if I did, I just don't pay attention. But they signed him for a trial period. Obviously, Golden is still dealing with whatever it is that he's been dealing with. So they had to get somebody. And honestly, you know, I don't love the signing to happen going into a major, right? But I have always... I'd be a hypocrite if I said I wasn't at least intrigued, because I've always said I wish Cloud9 would sign that kind of not proven talent yet. Right, kind of like how they took that risk on Stewie. I like it just because of the unknown factor.
It's really all there is at the moment. Like, Swole is kind of getting picked apart, Swole Patrol.
Yeah, you kind of feel bad for him.
You do. Like, they had this roster going, and you know, this is what happens with a lot of these MDL teams. They're getting a chance to move up and this and that, and now they're getting picked apart. This is like such a weird roster for me right now. I don't even know what to make of it. Rush, you know, Kiyoshima, Zealous, Zelsus, Flush, and Automatic.
I mean, on paper, it looks good, right? Outside of, I mean,
a lot of big names.
Unknown. Yeah.
But we only talk about chemistry in sports, right? And I'm having a hard time believing that there is a ton of chemistry within this team.
It's a ragtag group, for sure.
I do laugh, though. Anders was tweeting out saying how he wishes the French CSGO scene could just get their stuff together and create a super team. And, you know, if all the five best French players would just decide to play together and play like they want to play, then they'd be like an unstoppable force. And all you saw was Kiyoshima respond with him saying, good luck. Which tells me he is done with the French scene. Like, I had my doubts when he signed with Cloud9, and after seeing that tweet, I'm like, yeah, he's done. He is done trying to be in the French scene of Counter-Strike. And that probably tells you the French scene of Counter-Strike is a mess.
So while we're talking about the French scene in Counter-Strike, this kind of brings up a good one here, is LDLC got picked. They got one of the best players got picked off, Alex. He signed with Vitality. And they dropped Happy. So I don't even know where Happy would go at this point within the French scene. You're talking about one of the longstanding IGLs, you know, major winner with Envy. And so now
that's something personal
there,
with Happy.
So. No, because he gets really good players that want to play with him, right? I think this Vitality experiment – doesn't have a long shelf life. So I think that's why they made a move. And Alex is younger. He's been really good on LDLC. LDLC has got some really good wins, you know, in the past 6 months with him there. So I think this is them being a little forward thinking. And I don't know. I mean, is Happy's time done? You kind of feel that way, but I don't think it's a personal, you know, when we got to speak to him, he was truly one of the nicest people I'd spoken to. And I feel like we get a good sense of a person's character just by, you know, even a 5-10 minute conversation sometimes. Mm-hmm. And how they treat you as a human being, right? That says a lot to me about a person is how they treat you when we're just these little media guys coming in to talk to them for a few minutes. And Happy were genuinely one of the better people that we, you know, I've spoken to at least from our years of doing this. So I hope it's not anything personal. I think it's just, hey, play style's not working. Leadership or IGL skills have deteriorated. He hasn't had a winning team in about over, you know, almost over a year. So I think that's kind of enough of a reason to make this change.
Kerrigan, was Kerrigan dropped by the last show that we did, or did this all happen in between when he was dropped?
No, in last episode, the whispers, or it might have already been official that he was benched.
It was already, no, he was already dropped because we talked about teams picking him up and maybe, like Cloud9 or whatever. We did talk about it. So
he was benched. He's on loan.
Yes. Yeah, now he's on loan to the most shocking pickup, I think, from out of all this is Kerrigan is on loan to Team Envy, or now they just go as Envy.
It's insane. I can't believe that worked itself out the way it did. I think that's great for them. I think it honestly gives them a shot to, you know, get into one of these new challenger stages. So I, you know, it's still a little bit of a long shot, but I think it makes them incredibly competitive. He brings a lot of leadership, a lot of knowledge. He's got a month of CS ahead of him to be able to really grind this out with this crew. So,
and just from
crazy pickup, just weird.
And just from talking to them too, when I was at that charity event and everything, like they were definitely happy with their roster. Like they were like, yeah, you know, we're playing well, and you know, just on the grind. So like, I know when I saw that they picked up Kerrigan, like they knew, like, we have a shot to have one of, if not the best IGL in the game to come and mentor us right now. Like, we have to take that shot. And even if it's just for a loan, right? The knowledge that they're going to get from him being on the team. And who knows? You know how the loan situation works, right? He could always stick with the team. Pretty insane.
Yeah. I mean, again, an unusually weird move considering I don't see any ties on that current roster to Kerrigan. So, I mean, maybe he just really wanted to play in the major, or they threw a ton of money his way, or whatever the reason, you know, how this came about, because there's no ties to him to anybody on this team. I mean, I'm trying to even think in management where a tie would be, but great for them. Now, you know, makes it exciting to watch. You know, if anything, with him, Nifty, JDM, there's definitely some firepower on that team.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. Like Tim said, you know, you got one of the top IGLs in not only EU, but the world, coming to a team that has some players that are ready to break out, like Nifty, just to kind of see if, you know, how he plays with him, or, you know, how he helps Nifty grow, because Kerrigan's been around for a while and Nifty, you know, he's not extremely up and coming, but he's kind of one of those players that is just ready to break out. Right. So yeah, man, it's local. I'm happy to see it. Like I'm really
excited.
Wonder
if he'll be in Dallas.
Has to be, right? Because
maybe we can get an interview. Maybe get
boot camp for the major.
Maybe get some brunch.
They're really close. Just walk across, say, "Hey, Mike, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man?" Maybe I'll see. Kind of busy time during the majors. I know there were a few little other roster moves. Nuge, if you want to just tie a bow on all of it for us.
Yeah, so Bondic joins Gambit. Adren, you know, is no longer on the roster of it there. Adren is actually the one that's in negotiations, or in potential negotiations, I guess, per sources, with FaZe. So I think that would be a really good pickup for FaZe if that happened. I think Adren's a really good player. So Bondic joins Gambit. You have Refresh, who was the stand-in for Cloud9 most recently and really played well and made some noise for himself, but he has joined Optic in place for Nico. Xantaris, ex-Space Soldiers player, has joined Big. He is replacing Nex. And I think that's pretty much all the big moves that have happened. I mean, a lot of these moves, I think people saw some changes from these players coming, some of them being surprising. But Liquid to me comes out the winner here. I think that was, not to knock on Taco at all. I think Taco's amazing at what they ask him to do. But I think if Liquid really wants to make a push from 2-1, I think this is a great move for them to make. So super excited to have another NA team and a full NA team competing and against Stewie to be back in NA. I think it's a cool situation, a cool mm-hmm. storyline to follow.
I can't wait to watch them play.
Yeah, I really am excited.
Cannot wait. Them and MIBR, right? Just to see how they go back. There's a lot of interesting moves that you're like, I just want to see how the rosters play out now.
Now I'm like, you know, you want to see who is FaZe's official fifth, right? Like, that would be nice to see. There's been no CS for a long period of time, it feels like. So I'm just excited for them to get back into it. It's like the season feels like it's about to kick off here with a bang being the major, being, you know, it's right around the corner. And a lot of cool storylines to follow and just a lot of fun CS coming up. Mm. It'll be good. That'll keep us busy as we get ready for Overwatch League and all this other stuff that's going to...
That's how it happens,
take this
right?
Year for us.
These like last 2 weeks, nothing's going on, and then all of a sudden it's like CS:GO Major, Overwatch League, just back to back to back, and you're like, oh god, there's so much to talk about, and so little time. I think that's just about does it for us, though. No E news on this episode. There just wasn't enough happening, really. I'm sure if we really cared, there could have been something digging up, but I just appreciate the listener too much to half butt it. You know what I'm saying? It's a family show. I do want to thank the listener, though. I hope you all had a wonderful holiday. I hope you had a safe new year. That does it for us on this episode 136 of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. If you listened all the way through, I love you. If you skipped around and just kind of listened here and there, I love you all the same. Hope you enjoyed the show nonetheless. Let us know on Twitter, at The Center Ring. Follow us there. Spread the word. Join our Discord. You can find that tcr.gg, our website. All the links to all of our social media are there. We will be back next week. We're going to get back on our normal schedule, so that will be Monday, 8:30. The holidays are done. Birthdays are done. So we are back to normal, and esports is going to get back to normal. Always lots to discuss. But until then, for Nuge, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see ya.